Blog Talk Radio.
Good Monday night to you. This is Jim Bird with Killer Bees Barbecue Team. We got a really good show tonight. We have Heath from Port Barrel Barbecue here on the call in. We're going to talk about the big D.C. barbecue battle they had up there weekend before last, and talk about their products and the success they've had in their restaurant and who knows what else. And then a little bit later on, we're going to have Michael Mixon, the one, the only Jack's New South, going to call in. And, of course, Michael's never short for talking, so it'd be great to have him on here. We're trying to get another special guest on. It's kind of in limbo right now, but we'll see where it goes. But I do want to congratulate all the winners out this past weekend. I think Dan Hickson from 3 Eyes, they won their seventh grand. They're going to the Jack Daniels automatically. QL won their 87th grand championship this past weekend. Buddy's Redneck Scientific. Jerry and Brian, they took Covington this past weekend. Mike Richter got reserve grand, so congratulations to them. And for all those who got called and everything, we just want to give a big congrats to everybody out there. So no further ado, I think we have Heath Hall on here right now. Heath, is this you?
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Heath. How you been doing?
Oh, busy. It's that time of year when not only us crazy barbecue fanatics like you and I are out there, but everyone's out there grilling. And so we've been doing a lot of selling, a lot of media, a lot of competitions, a lot going on with the restaurant. So it's been a busy couple of months.
Keeps you out of trouble, though, doesn't it?
Well, so far it's done a pretty good job of that, but who knows? We could still probably find a way to get into trouble.
Yeah, whether you're looking for it or not, it probably follows you a little bit.
It does.
So how is the BC barbecue battle up there? I know there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of us out there that don't know exactly how it all works. I was going to see if you could – I know you got to start about now for next year. So if you could explain to the listeners about what all is involved in doing that.
Yeah, no, it's a great contest. It is – it has some challenges to it just simply based on the location. The load-in, although this year was very smooth for us, tends to be a little bit more – challenging than your average contest, since you're loading in down on Pennsylvania Avenue and of course just literally hours before you get there, it's got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of vehicles and people trying to leave DC for the weekend after they get off of work. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, how many times do you get to bring your smoker down and cook right between the Capitol and the White House? It attracts some of the best teams in the country. I heard there in your opening that you're going to have Michael Mixon on, and we were actually right across the street from Michael and his dad cooking with the Jacksonville South team. Next, it was kind of we had kind of probably one of the more intimidating spots in all of competition barbecue. If you sat in our site and you just looked out in front of us, you had Jacksonville South. To the left of that, you had Tuffy with Cool Smoke, and to the left of that, you had Johnny Trigg. So a few GCs amongst those three right there in front of us. But always tracks great teams. Ross Gray with Pelled Envy has cooked it. Melissa Cookston and Pete Cookston with Yazoo Delta Q. You know, you mentioned Q Al winning their 87th, I think you said, GC this past week, and they've cooked it in the past. Three Eyes has cooked it in the past. Mike Richter, who you mentioned, cooked in the past. A lot of the great teams. We also had Serial Griller there this year, one of the better teams out here on the East Coast, Dizzy Pig. So it really is an opportunity to stack yourself up against some of the best cooks. It is a little bit different than most cooks in how it is structured. On Saturday, you actually only turn in three categories, only two of them the standard KCBS categories. You turn in chicken and brisket, and then you also turn in a lamb. They give everybody boneless legs of lamb, and so you have three turn-ins, and they're evening turn-ins, so they're 6, 6:30, and 7 o'clock at night. So it really makes for one of the more relaxed days in barbecue, only having to really do two of the main categories and then the extra category if you so choose to do it, the lamb. On Sunday, you cook the pork category, so you cook ribs, and you cook butts, and they throw in kind of a modified Memphis-style on-site judging. Instead of having three judges that come, you know, at separate times, you have two judges that come at one time and do an on-site judging for the ribs and the pork. And the winner of combination of four scores, your KCBS pork box, your KCBS rib box, then your modified Memphis on-site ribs and modified Memphis on-site pork. Whoever has the highest total score out of those four wins the National Pork Championship sponsored by the Pork Board. So it's a fun contest, great teams, great prize money. I think it's right around $40,000 in prize money, tons of trophies, opportunity to cook, you know, one of the most historic spots in America. and just a ton of people, 100, 150,000 people attended over the 2 days.
How hard is it to get into that contest?
We've never had a problem getting in. We've always submitted pretty early. I know it's limited in space because you're down there on Pennsylvania Avenue, essentially between sidewalks, and then a couple of the off streets, side streets, they have teams as well. I cooked it. I think the first year we cooked it, there were around 50 teams. This year there are around 42 teams cooked it this year. So, you know, I think there is an opportunity to get in. It is expensive to get a spot. I think just we had the smallest regular spot, I think it was $600. If you have a camper or some kind of a trailer that you want to bring in, I know it goes up from there. But I think that it is possible. It's not, you know, like a wait list situation where you can't get in, as long as you get your name in there pretty early. So they do bring, it's a big festival. They bring in, you know, a lot of other things besides just the barbecue competition. The NBA is a big sponsor. They have the Johnsonville Bratwurst, biggest grill in the world there. This year you generally have them there. Famous Dave was there this year, signing his book. Lots of things going on outside of the barbecue. Lots of music. I think they have 3 stages. And it's all for a good cause, too. It all raises money for the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah. Wasn't there a lot of other vendors up there and stuff, too? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot of vendors, from your national brands that come in, kind of giving out samples like Chobani Yogurt, Johnsonville, Comcast, the TV channel. I think there were several car companies that had cars on site. Then there's a lot of, quite a few barbecue vendors, some local to the D.C. area, and then some that are, travel more around the country. It's a full 2 days, really a little bit more than 2 days. Like I say, you come in, load in about 10 o'clock on Friday night, and the awards are about 6:30, 7 o'clock on Sunday night. But, it's one of those that if you haven't done it, you should definitely put it on your barbecue competition bucket list, if for no other reason than just how cool it is to cook on Pennsylvania Avenue. There's, like I said, a lot of teams that travel. Big Guns Barbecue out of New York, Stubborn Bull out of New York. Actually, the GC this year was Cubed Barbecue out of Ohio. So there's, a lot of big teams, a lot of successful teams come far and wide to cook in it.
That's good. So how do you, when I talked to Mark from Serial Griller, He was telling me that you had to kind of get it in a little early, the normal contest. And is there any background checks or
no
squad is or anything like that when you go in?
No. There's police presence, but they fence off the area. It's admission to get in. A lot of events in D.C., you do have to go through magnetometers and things like that, but this one is, entry is pretty smooth. We've never had any issues with anything like that. It's, pretty smooth, other than the fact that you don't get to get in until really late at night once the streets have cleared and they've been able to put up some of the barricades to block off the area.
How hard is it to get into that area?
Well, as long as you're a team, and they told us, for example, to be at a specific intersection at 9:40 p.m. to stage, and then they would let us in. And so it was pretty smooth. They give every team a location of where you want to be, and what time, and then they bring you in. It's a little crazier than a normal contest because maybe a normal contest you have teams arrive over, say, a, a 24-hour period. Some teams coming in on Thursday, and all the way up till Friday afternoon. This contest, pretty much every team is coming in within, you know, a 30-minute, 45-minute time window. So you do have, you know, the congestion associated with more teams coming in at any given time. And then the space, you know, there is a space consideration because you don't have the, a big, huge field like you might have in some contests. You're pretty much confined between two sidewalks. So the normal street size of a downtown in a big city is kind of what you've got to maneuver in. So, you know, we travel pretty light, but yeah, it's probably if you have a big, a big camper or something, RV that you normally travel with, you know, it might be a contest you'd want to leave that at home and then go a little bit lighter. But there are teams that do bring in their RVs. Hog It Up Barbecue from Bluemont, Virginia. They've got a nice RV, and they managed to pull it in there and get it parked and everything. So, yeah, I think just a little patience, but it's run a lot smoother, you know, every year we've gone. It seems like that it gets a little bit better, and they get it down just a little bit smoother every year.
Well, that's good. So now there's a lot of other little quirky things going on there. I know, like I said, I talked to Mark Breen up there in Triumph, and he said, you know, when you get your, you know, have like prize money notifications and stuff, and then you have other people like throwing in money, you know, during the contest, so to speak. What's that all about? I mean, what?
Yeah, so Safeway sponsor a number of category kind of secondary prize packs within each category. So, for example, Purdue Chicken is the sponsor of the Purdue National Chicken Championship, which coincides with the KCBS Chicken Contest. So if you they give you chicken, and if you use it, if you use the Purdue Chicken, then, and say you, I believe first place in a category this year was $1,000. And then if you used Purdue Chicken and you won first place overall in chicken, they threw in, I believe it was an additional $2,000 from Purdue. So instead of just getting the $1,000 for first place chicken, you actually would get $3,000, and you would actually get two trophies. That you would get the KCBS contest trophy, and then you would get a trophy from Purdue and Safeway. And they do that for three of the four categories. So Purdue sponsors the chicken category and gives you chicken if you want to take those. Safeway Extra Meaty Select Ribs sponsors the rib category. So if you choose to cook with the ribs that they give you and you place in the top three spots, you'll get an extra award for that. And then brisket, the Rancher's Reserve, they give you two Rancher's Reserve briskets, and if you use those and you finish in the top three, you would receive an additional prize for that as well. And then they have the lamb, which is sponsored by, I think it's the Australian Lamb Board, and so it obviously does not count towards the KCBS side of the competition, but it's an extra contest that I believe it, again, was if you won it, was $2,000, and they gave that to the top three places. I think it was 2,000, 1,500, if I remember correctly, for those. And then they have this pork championship, which is separate from the KCBS, but it utilizes the two KCBS scores for ribs and pork. But then in addition to that, you get scores for the on-site judging for your ribs and your pork. And so they take those four scores, combine them together, and they give away additional money from the pork board and crown a national pork champion. And then they also have a sauce competition as well.
That's a lot to keep up of up there, isn't it?
It is. It is. But it's a fun contest. We love it. We've had a lot of good success there. We won the competition a couple years ago. This year we took RGC at it. Another bonus with it, if you win it, it's an automatic to the Jack because it's the only competition in D.C. So if you win it, you get a golden ticket, so to speak, to the Jack to represent, you know, the District of Columbia.
That's pretty cool too. So
yeah, even
though they have certain prize monies and stuff, there's a chance to make just a buttload of money.
Yeah, no. The year we won it, we took home about $8,000. So we took home about this year. You know, if you won it, you took home a lot of money. But you got the Auto of the Jack, you got an invitation to the World Food Championships. Obviously, you got an invitation to Cook the Royal Invitational. So it's a nice little contest as far as prize money and opportunity to go cook in some of the biggest contests later in the fall.
Now, do you go to American Royale, or?
We do. We've been the last 3 years, and we'll be heading out there again in October. We're from Missouri originally. Before I moved to D.C., I lived in Kansas City, so it's a good opportunity for us to get back and see a lot of friends and family. It's also just a real special competition to cook in. It's fun, being able to cook the back-to-back competitions on Friday, cooking the Invitational, Saturday cooking the Open. And, probably the best aspect of it for me is just getting to meet a lot of teams, because you've got teams from all over the country that come in. It's, by far the biggest competition. I think last year there were 600 and some teams there. So you get a chance to meet folks that, maybe are from the West Coast or even the Midwest that don't compete. We compete probably 80% out here on the East Coast. And, don't get a chance to see a lot of those teams, but maybe once or twice a year. And so it's fun to get to see folks that maybe you only communicate with through Twitter or Facebook, and really get a chance to meet them in person and hang out. And it's just a fun atmosphere.
It sounds like it.
Have you done the Royal?
I have not. I've been invited the last 2 years, I guess it is. I haven't done the Royal. I've got two more grand, so I get automatic bid into the Jack.
Well, yeah, I haven't congratulated you yet on an outstanding season that you guys have been having. But yeah, five, is that right?
Yeah, we've got five. We've got, of course, a couple big ones in there. And we've just been, I don't know, we're kind of shell-shocked. I guess it really hadn't sank in to what we've accomplished. I set out this year, there were two contests I really wanted to win, not necessarily in the same year, and that was the Boss Hog Cookoff down here in Waynesboro. That was the first one we ever did, just a lot of sentimental value to it. And then the other one, of course, was Evans, which is just right out my back door. So
that's a great contest.
Those were two that we really wanted to win. And, of course, Banjo-Bacu was a nice payday. So
yeah, that's great facility, great payday. And that's another one that attracts some of the top teams from around the country. So that one, you had to have a good day, for sure.
Yeah, you've been there before.
I have, yeah. No, it's a fun contest. Hope to get back.
Yeah, we had Rod Gray and Johnny Trigg and Bacon Porker, Steelman the Grill, Blue Bloods, Hickory Prime. I'm trying to name them all off. Smoking Hoss. We had Mark and them didn't make it down this year. Bubba Q was there. It's his first year. Q and Stone Broom was there. Wiki Q. So a lot of top echelon teams were there. It's a tough field. How we got four calls, I'll never know. But we'll take them.
Yeah, take four calls in any contest, but to get four calls in that field is impressive. You should definitely pat yourself on the back because you killed it that weekend.
Yeah, well, Rob was giving me a little crap because we're going up there, and our ribs are tough. I'm sorry, I'll say it till I die. Our ribs were tough, and we just knew they were gonna just bring us down. We ended up we knew the chicken was decent. We tried a little bit new recipe there, so we didn't know which way to go, and we tied for first in chicken. Of course, we lose the tiebreaker, and then we got eighth in ribs, but we knew our pork and brisket were dead on. I think we got fourth and pork and third and brisket. So we're very pleased. Made a nice little payday, and that was our third one in a row. And then I went to Charleston, and then Lincoln, North Carolina, and got two reserves. And then, of course, went to Tryon and got a fifth place out of 98 teams. And then I went to Apex, not this past week, the weekend before, and won another grand. So it was it's been a fun ride. We had a seven-stretch contest, which we had four grands, two reserves, and a fifth place.
That's a career for most of us.
But we did seven in a row, and I knew it was going to be a tough stretch because, I had three or four contests in Georgia in a row. Three in a row. But I was going to have to cook against the Georgia teams and North Carolina teams and two other ones. So, it was, there were some tough fields. I mean, nowadays there's really no gimmies out there. I mean, everybody's been taking tools. Everybody's got flavor profiles coming out of Yin Yang. And, I mean, it's just, it's really tough to win a grand these days. And, like I said, we've just been plugging along. I made a couple deals out there. I'm a firm believer that if you got a buddy out there that y'all can share, if you're hitting, like I shared one guy my brisket recipe with his chicken, one contest we finished seventh and eighth. So, we know where we're at there. And then I traded my pork for another little flavor profile on chicken and ribs, and I got a perfect score on ribs and been knocking chicken out pretty good lately. So, It's been pretty good. It's been nice to hang around. It's a little more calmer this year. This is, I think, our third full year going into this. And, I got several people wanting us to, travel a little bit further and go for team of the year. And to me, it's just too early. My main focus now, my next goal is to make it to the Jack. And then, if I can get two more commands to make it to the Jack, then everything will fall in place the way it's supposed to. So. But, it's been fun. It's been really fun. We've had a good time and, don't have to, we got our work contest paid to the end of the year and, we're just, kick back on cruise mode and we're enjoying a few more of these. We're not so wound tight, trying to do all this stuff. But, like I said, with Rod teaching the class and everything, he's just very methodical in everything he did. And I owe a lot to him just, his preparation and everything that he does is just so nonchalant and effortless to him. And you don't see it at the beginning, but, as you do it, it all kind of comes as, repetition, I had Bob Roberts and two of them in the grill up there in Apex. He was running my boxes for me, and he was the one I was kind of helping with pork because pork's been his nemesis. And I think it was 23 straight contests, we didn't finish out of the top 10 in pork, and that's through four sanctioning bodies. And only in three of those we finished out of the top six. So we had a good run on pork till we got 40th up there.
But, definitely.
So pork's been hitting pretty good. But he ran the box and stuff. He got outside the trailer, and I thought he was going to jinx me because everybody went out to talk to him. Bob said, "We're going for second place." I'm like, "Do what?" He said, "You had one hell of a cook." I said, "Well," he told me it was all right. He wasn't jumping up and down or nothing. And I said, it was a good, solid cook. And sure enough, I came and got four more calls and won it. So we had a lot of, I think in that seven stretch run, there were three contests. We didn't get four calls. So
that's impressive.
So we just know our flavor profile is hitting. It's a combination of a couple different teams' flavor profiles, and I think we kind of made it our own. But, we're going to see what this next seven stretch comes. We've got usually summertime's hard for me. I don't know why. I don't know if I lose focus or don't give a crap or what. But, we've got Greenwood coming up, which is a big one. There's 75 pro teams in that one. And, of course, we'll have barbecue and all them, plus we have a lot of bull and a few others.
Yeah.
And then we've got a couple new ones coming up. We've got Unicoi, Tennessee, and then Maggie Valley. And then I've got Dillard, which is nothing but grands up there. And then Franklin, North Carolina, Athens, Georgia, and Greer. That's another 7 run in a row. We'll see how we fare after that and see if everything's still hitting. But now y'all have had a lot of success too, not just in competing, but y'all have been doing very well on the outside with your sauces and rubs. And now I think you posted something the other day, y'all are just about worldwide now, y'all over in the UK.
Yeah, no, we've had a great year, you know, selling sauce and rub. We surpassed our 2012 sales totals by the end of March, so we have sold more sauce and rub in the first 3 months of this year than we did all of last year combined. We are now in not only just about every state in America, but we're in Canada real strong, and we are really starting to build a presence over in the UK and hopefully move on over into mainland Europe. We're in the current issue of Olive magazine, which is one of the big magazines that the BBC produces over in the UK. So that was exciting. But probably the most exciting for us this year was getting a huge honor from Cook's Illustrated magazine, probably one of the most respected food magazines out there, kind of the Consumer Reports of the food world. And they named our original barbecue sauce the Supreme Barbecue Sauce, beating out a number of other well-known and very, very good sauces. So we were incredibly honored to get that nod from Cook's Illustrated. And, we're trucking along, having a lot of fun. We're probably going to be releasing another spice rub sometime this year. We're working on a couple right now and trying to decide which one we want to go with. We just opened up our third restaurant. We've got the barbecue restaurant, a burger joint, and we just opened up, of all things, a sushi bar. Not really what you might think a barbecue guy would be opening up, but it's gotten off to a really good start. And we're right now kind of scouting out locations for our second pork barrel barbecue restaurant. We're having a lot of fun heading up to New York on Wednesday night, and we'll be cooking live all morning on Fox and Friends on Fox News for the 4th of July. So that's always one of the highlights of our year, getting to go up and cook on air with the crew at Fox and Friends. Never know, who we're going to run into. We've got to cook for Governor Huckabee. Last year when we were up there, Lee Greenwood was there, got to cook for him. So it's a lot of fun. Anytime you get to, it's kind of like D.C. barbecue battle, getting to pull your smoker into Pennsylvania Avenue. It's kind of the same, getting to pull your smoker into Times Square and fire it up. And, there's always a big crowd that gathers around, wanting to see what's going on, wanting to try to get on TV and stuff. So, if you're up 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock on the 4th of July, tune in to Fox and Friends and you'll see us on there cooking some traditional barbecue. And then we're going to do some non-traditional stuff too. I think we're going to do a grilled red, white, and blue sangria, kind of getting the 4th of July spirit, and a couple other things that we'll be breaking out there as well.
Now, what kind of products do you sell? Is it internet, or you go to places like KCBS Barbecue Superstore? How do you see what kind of products you have?
People can go online at porkbarrelbbq.com, and we have an online store there. But we're also in about 4,000 stores in the United States. We are in the process of updating our website, so it's not quite up to where I'd like it to be right now, because we've been focusing more on the new website and filling that up with content. But once that launches, it's going to launch sometime in July, most likely. That's going to have an updated store locator on there. So it'll be a Google map, and you'll be able to go in there and type in your address, and it'll pop up. You can choose, 15 miles, 10 miles, 50 miles, however far away you're willing to look, and it'll show you, the stores that we're in your area. We're very, very well represented in most of the major grocery stores on the East Coast. We're starting to pick up quite a few on the West Coast. and the Midwest is probably where we're the lightest right now, but we're working hard to fill that void and pick up some grocery stores in the Midwest. But yeah, always go online at porkbarrelbbq.com on the online store and find our products. We've got four sauces, a spice rub, barbecue flavored peanuts, and of course the world-renowned Q cologne. If you don't get enough smelling of barbecue from cooking, you can always just get a bottle of Q cologne and spray that and smell like you just came outside and went back in from checking your pit.
Yeah, my wife hates that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we either, you know, get, it's like we get roses sent to us or death threats sent to us from people. You know, it was totally a fun product that we just did to kind of create some buzz about our company and get people, you know, finding out about us. It totally worked. We got over 1 million media hits off of it. Jay Leno even did a joke on it. Cosmo, Glamour covered it, Sports Illustrated. So we got tons and tons of media coverage out of it, and we never really thought we'd sell that many of them. But I tell you, we have a hard time keeping them in stock. I mean, we usually order about 500. We have a perfume manufacturer that makes them for us that we worked with on it. And I usually order about 500 at a time. I'm too scared to order more because I think at some point, you know, we're going to stop selling them. And the last thing I want is like a 10,000 bottles of Q cologne in my, you know, my basement or something like that. So, but we just keep plugging through. We just had a huge number ordered over Father's Day time period. Christmas, we sell a lot of them. It's, you know, it's kind of a fun gag gift, and, you know, some people like the way it smells, some people hate the way it smells, so order with caution, but it's a fun gag gift for if you have any barbecuers that, you know, you're looking for a fun gift for.
Yeah, I guess when the buyer hits submit, they're on their own.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you can't tell that it's supposed to be a gag when you read, you know, our description of it is a intoxicating bouquet of meat, smoke, spices, and sweet summer sweat. You know, if you're looking for Ralph Lauren Polo or Obsession or something like that, probably want to go to Macy's and pick that up. But if you're looking for something that's kind of fun and unique and get a chuckle, then come on down and we'll be happy to send you a bottle.
So basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to cover up a sweaty tube stock being smoked on a grill.
Something like that. Yeah, no, it's pretty smoky. Now, I'll tell you the amazing thing about it. I have no idea how we did this. I have no experience in creating colognes, but you know, you buy a nice cologne and it seems like after a couple hours, you can't even smell it anymore. Well, we've created a scent that lasts for easily 48 hours. So if we could only figure out how to harness that technology and sell that to, you know, the Ralph Lauren's and, for Polo and Jacquard and Session and all those people, we could probably make a good killing, you know, if we could teach them how to make their product last a little bit longer.
That's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah, yeah. Like I say, it's one of those scents that people either seem to really love it or really hate it. So, you know, spray it on a piece of paper outside before you decide to, you know, to get too crazy on your person with it, or you might be smelling it for a couple days.
Hey, it might even be a good cover up scent when you go deer hunting and stuff. It just smells like smoke. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
cover
no, definitely.
But
definitely.
Now, what other ventures do y'all have going on?
Well, yeah, we got a couple websites that we run that you know, if you're not on them, we definitely would love to have you check them out. One that's called barbecuebackyard.com. Think of it as kind of like a Facebook for barbecuers. We've got. We're getting close to about 5,000 members on it now, and it's everybody from, you know, folks who our backyard barbecuers to, you know, folks like Rod Gray, you know, former Team of the Year winners on there. It's, you know, fun way to chat with people, to share your photos and videos, and you can do blog entries on it. So check that out. And then we also have a site called barbecueRace.com, which we put together last year. It's a competition Team of the Year standing site with a lot of fun extras on it. You can get badges for certain achievements. You can follow your trend lines. You know, if there is, you know, a lot going on that we're hoping to continue to build on with it. You know, we're really excited about the KCBS announcement of going to numbers for teams, because one of the issues has always been misspellings or multiple spellings of team names and how you keep track of that. If you have barbecue in your name, it's likely that you're probably spelled two or three or four or five ways during the competition year by the KCBS ref. So I think once that gets implemented and we're able to update our coding, it's going to make that site even better and give us a lot of opportunities to do a lot more things. You know, not this year, but we're one of the things we hope to do with that at some point is to create a fantasy barbecue league where you could go in and, you know, get 10 of your buddies and at the beginning of the year have a draft and, you know, draft teams like True Bud or Pellet Envy or Killer Bees. That would have been a great draft pick this year. Nothing like that exists. It could be kind of fun way to, you know, just give another layer of interactivity within the barbecue community. So we're hoping to do that. And, we got a number of other things that we're looking at doing with the site. But it's, you know, and certainly, you know, feel free to email us if you have problems with the site. Like I say, there's coding issues with team names sometimes when they get misspelled incorrectly. It's a pretty simple fix. We just have to go in and merge the incorrect spelling with the correct spelling, and then it'll count all of them under the correct spelling. So check that out. What else we got going on? Like I said, we're looking at opening another barbecue joint. We've got hopefully a new spice blend. We're looking at one or two, not exactly sure which one we're going to come out with first, but I'm looking at possibly doing something later in this year with that. We got potentially a big new partnership that not quite ready to announce yet, but it'll be a completely different venture for us that we're, you know, if we'll have to come back on when we're ready to announce it, but I think it's going to be really exciting, and we're hoping to be able to announce that sometime in August. So that we got that going. So yeah, we're keeping busy, and you know, our biggest, you know, thing is just trying to expand the number of grocery stores carrying our products. You know, it's a tough world out there when you're competing against giants like Casey Masterpiece and Sweet Baby Ray's, Stubbs, you know, those types of brands that have millions of dollars behind them and longevity and you know, in the case of something like Casey Masterpiece, you know, Fortune 500 company like Clorox. And we're still little guys trying to play in a big guy's arena, and it takes every ounce of effort and time and you know, persistence to stay afoot and afloat with those guys. But you know, we're having a good time doing it, and hope we continue to be able to do it going forward. And then we'll be cooking, you know, quite a few contests. We'll be doing the Sam's Club competition. Our local contest in Richmond, Virginia is next month in August. Not this weekend, but next weekend we'll be in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania for the Gettysburg Cook-Off, which should be a lot of fun. This is the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. And
I wish I could be at that one. That one's always, that would be a really cool one to do.
Yeah, I think this will be the first time we've done it, and I think this year will just be really, you know, pretty special with it being the 150th anniversary and all the extra things going on with that. I'm still trying to decide if we're going to do anything the weekend after that. I'm debating between three contests, one in Rhode Island, which we did last year, which we just had a ball at, Galax, Virginia, which has added a KCBS contest, and then Q and Cruz in Loiza, Virginia. So still trying to figure out that. And then the following weekend we'll be in Bluemont, Virginia for the Bluemont Barbecue Bash. Then in early August we've got the Maryland State Barbecue Bash in Bel Air, Maryland. Then the Sam's Club. Then in September we'll either be at the Sam's Club Regional or at my favorite contest. Unfortunately, hopefully I don't get to go to it this year because it's the same weekend as the Sam's Club Regional, is Picking in the Panhandle in Hedgesville, West Virginia. Always a great competition. Then we're heading up, one that I'm really looking forward to is we're heading up to Seaside Heights, New Jersey to do Q by the Sea. We just really wanted to make a point to do that one this year because Seaside Heights got hit really hard by the hurricane last year, Hurricane Sandy. And, you know, we wanted to come up and you know, support the folks in that town and help bring a little money to help them in their recovery efforts. And I've heard it's just an amazing contest, so looking forward to that. Then we'll stop in Xenia, Ohio on our way out to the Royal to cook the Ohio Veterans Barbecue. Then we'll be at the Royal cooking both the Invitational and the Open. And then haven't really done much planning after that, but hopefully we'll be, you know, last year we were fortunate enough to cook the Sam's Club Finals in Bentonville. Hopefully we can do that, and then hopefully we'll be in a position to hear our name pulled out of the sack at the Jack and go back to the Jack. I think this is the 25th anniversary, so I'm sure that's going to be it's already a special contest, but I'm sure it's going to be even more special with that this year. And then debating whether we're going to head out to Laughlin, Nevada for Ronnie Case's big Smoke on the Water contest in November. We cooked a contest he did last year out in Las Vegas, had a great time. You know, he always brings some good prize money and lots of great teams, so it's always a fun atmosphere and a challenging competition to cook, which, you know, are always the ones we enjoy the most. So, but it's a long trip to Nevada from the Washington, D.C. area, especially if you don't do too well. Fortunately, we took third, and we probably got enough prize money to pay our gas last time, but it's an expensive trip if you don't hear your name called one or two times.
Well, that was a big thing. Yeah, we were. I was actually, I'd already paid my money to go into the World Food Championships, and it just the more people talk about everything, the less I really wanted to do it in a way, just because of the money aspect of stuff. And you know, we won the grand right there about a month or so before, and yeah, we could have taken all that money and gone out there and, you know, who knows what we would have done. But, you know, I decided to put it towards my first 10 contests this year. So,
sure.
You know, do you go out there and just do one, or do you plan for next year and go ahead? Because, see, the whole thing with us, and I know it goes with a lot of other teams, is we try not to take any of our personal money. I mean, it's kind of tough, but we try not to take any of our personal money to do these contests. This year we won't have to. I was booked up and already bought a bunch of stuff, so we're sitting really good this year, thank the Lord. But you know, in the past we were, you know, we'd put in, when I'd win something, we'd put in for two or three contests in a row, and you know, in a year there's always 8 or 10 I'm gonna go ahead and sign up for. You know, the ones
right.
I know I'm gonna. So, but you know, it's just it's hard to go out there, and I know World Food Championship's trying to make it easier, you know, some of the teams by offering some of these, you know, they'll help pay you what to get out there, and it's just so much harder for the East Coast teams because it's so much longer travel time, so much more fuel expense. You know, several Eastern teams did very well out there, and,
yeah, DC Firefighters, Mike Scale, he won the potato salad contest out there last year. I think he got a nice $10,000 paycheck for that.
Yeah, I mean, for what, 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's always a good payday.
That's what my wife was saying. If she could have done a little bit better, I've been trying to make it out there. She said, well, we could go out there because you're set up where you could go if you wanted to. And she said, I'll set up so both of us go. She said, of course, mine won't take but, 45 minutes to make. Yours will take 3 days. So,
right.
It's a great event. I mean, I know there's always learning curves when you do a new event, especially on that magnitude. You don't know what to expect. I know a lot of teams can't wait to get back out there and everything, but I think I'm going to stick. There's a couple. There's not really one around. They did move it back one weekend, which I thought was really good. There's a few events on the first weekend in November, and then there's some on the third weekend. So I'm glad to see they moved it back. Especially around this area, it'd be a lot better to, a lot more feasible to make it than it would be to give up a contest to all out there. But I mean, several teams have the reasons. Marketing is a big thing, people like you and Butcher and Rod and all them that have products out there. You cannot not go do it. You've got a lot more stake than someone like me would have. So I'll let y'all duke it out there, and I'll stay around here. it's a great event. Like I said, they're enticing a lot of teams by paying their way, and they get some NBN teams involved too, which I think is good. The one down here in Statesboro, they were going to pay your way if you won the NBN. One in Columbus, Georgia, they were going to pay your way if you win the KCBS. So they're adding a whole lot of little, facilities to help get you, and to entice you to come out there. And, those several teams like Cuban Stern Brewing, he builds my pitch. He sponsors me through the Southern Cuban Smokers, and he won the one in Columbus. He's going out there, and he'd sold two trailers out there in Las Vegas. We're out there in Nevada. So he's got one guy in Southern Key Smokers on us. He's got one guy bringing one to Vegas. Now another one's going to meet him in Laughlin. So he's going to do two in a row. When he's out there, and he said, all I got to do is fly.
Yeah.
He said, my meat shipped out there to him and get all my runs and stuff. And he said, I'm going to fly. He said, they'll drive in 30-something hours to get out there. But, if y'all are going to be out that way, if y'all can be gone that long, that's great. Sounds like you probably got about 150 people at work for you with all the stuff y'all got going on.
But
I think everything y'all are doing is really great, Heath. Y'all are really promoting the sport of barbecue, not only here but overseas. And, I think it's going to mushroom big overseas, especially in the UK. I see more and more on it. On the web and stuff, with having the web, the access and stuff, teams can take these online classes and stuff, and it really sounds like to me that they're doing it really big over there now, and it's just gonna keep it's gonna go worldwide. I mean, Australia does it, so I think it's really good. Now, if I'm not mistaken, though, your whole thing kind of started with the Shark Tank, didn't it?
Shark Tank was, we'd been around for about, 6-8 months before we got noticed by Shark Tank, about a year before we actually aired. But Shark Tank was really took us from just a couple local, guys in a couple local stores to, ability to go nationwide pretty rapidly. That was an incredible opportunity for us.
Yeah, now that's, that was a whole experience in itself, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most
definitely. Now, well, I know, they have, these guys with backing and stuff like that. Now, is it he or she, are they still involved with what you do? Or?
Yeah, we got a deal with Barbara Corcoran, and we see Barbara, a few times a year. We talk to her, a couple times a month, and email back and forth quite frequently. Definitely, still involved with us and an active partner. When she has opportunities that would benefit the company, she always passes those along. And having her, pitching us to different places is incredibly helpful. One of the great opportunities is to get to talk with some of her other businesses that she's purchased into, and and become close with them, and to be able to, you know, learn from their successes and failures, and share our successes and failures. So, you know, hopefully everyone can repeat the successes and avoid the failures.
All right. Well, I mean, that's good, because that just lets you know that you've got a, you've almost got like a network through her on, you know, how people has survived and the trials and tribulations that they went through. So
completely.
It's probably gonna be nothing new to them, but it's like I said, I guess it's learning curves or whatever, or growing pains, whatever you want to say, for y'all. But at least y'all got people, so-called, on your team or network that has experience and kind of guide you through some of the rough edges. Or sounds like y'all are just blowing by everything with everything y'all got going on. And
we're trying to, for sure. We're trying to stay busy.
Well, that's good. You know, it's always great to see y'all at these contests and stuff. You know, I didn't get a whole lot of time to talk to you down in Lexington. I think it's been the last time I think I saw you.
Yeah, that was the last time we saw each other.
And, you know, it's a shame, because, like I said, I tried to get some teams from out west to come on the show and stuff. And Sterling Smith out there, he's actually a Georgia boy that's been planted out there in Arizona. And he's been really good, and he's got a lot of contacts out there. And, you know, we're trying to, you know, Barbecue Superstar, of course, promote barbecue and everything, promote people's products. And, you know, we get more and more listeners each week. And, you know, I tried to get some of the top teams in the country, because, you know, if somebody finished 40th, you know, if you're like me, I ain't got nothing you want, you know. So we try to get teams that are doing, I mean, you know, a lot of teams just do product. Some teams have their restaurants. I mean, you've got two going on three or four. You know, you've got, like I said, let's say you got a lot of products out there and a lot of different stores and stuff. So y'all are really promoting every aspect of barbecue right now. And, yeah, my hat's off to you. I know it's been in probably pretty relatively short period of time, hasn't it?
About 4 years or so. So we've been fortunate to have a lot of good mentors along the way that you know, have been very helpful to us. People like Rod, people like Dave Raymond, Sweet Baby Ray, Dave Anderson, Famous Dave, people like that. So we've been very fortunate to have a lot of good help. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Pat Burke. Of the Apple City crew that, along with Mike Mills, won so many of the Memphis and Mays back in the 90s. And, you know, it's kind of a combination of, you know, we like to say, you know, first you got to have a good product, or it doesn't matter, you know, what you do, because people aren't going to support it. But once you have a good product, you know, get a good work ethic in there, get some people that believe in you, and, you know, work hard and get a few breaks, and anything's possible in this country. You know, it truly is still the, as we approach the 4th of July and kind of reflect on the greatness that is our country, and thanks to, you know, thankfulness of the men and women who sacrifice every day to preserve the freedom, just how lucky we are to be in a country where, you know, if you have an idea and you work at it, you can take it to really just unlimited heights, just kind of limited by your own personal desires.
Yeah, well, you're going to get out of it what you put into it, definitely. And that goes true with anything you do. You know, nothing's going to come easy. Nothing's going to fall in your lap. You know, if you want to do something, you want to do this, and then it's totally up to you, you know. You've got to make it happen first before anybody else will believe in you. So, you know, like I said, y'all come a long way, and who is the how many members do you have actually on the barbecue team?
Well, it's, you know, Brett and myself are the two main members. I've actually cooked, I think, 5 contests this year by myself, so quite a few solo contests. But my mom and dad, they cook a number of contests with us. They're out of Missouri. They were up here last weekend for the D.C. contest. My wife, Nisha, she comes to a lot of the contests on Saturday as my I kind of stole the term from Rod Gray and his wife Sherry, but she's kind of my closer. She makes sure the boxes are looking good, and she does the turn-ins for us. And then, you know, our restaurant partners will occasionally come, but, you know, the main gist of the team is myself and Brett, and then, you know, my wife and my parents.
Yeah, well, I know, I think every time I've seen you, you've been by yourself.
This year I've done a lot by myself. Yeah, it's different for sure doing them by yourself. You know, there are aspects of it, I think, that are easier when you do it by yourself, and then there are aspects that are more difficult. When you're by yourself, you don't have to have a debate over which rack of ribs is better or which, you know, which piece of chicken look nicer. You know, it's pretty much it's your show, and you are going to either sink or swim based on you know, what you're thinking is the way to go. So there's no one to blame later on but yourself. But it's you know, I mean, it's obviously a nice to have someone that can walk the boxes for you, because that sometimes becomes a challenge, you know, especially if you get a pretty good distance away from wherever the judging tent is. But yeah, we've done solos, and then we've had, you know, contests. We've had five or six people there helping us. So just got to be prepared and ready to roll whichever way you're going.
Now, when you do one by yourself, I've done several by myself. I've done three this year. I did Apex. Got a grand, the fifth and the seventh, and the three that I've done. Yeah, I was by myself up in Lexington. Now, when you cook by yourself, there's a lot of teams out there that couldn't fathom it. When I won Apex up there, I mean, I had several teams coming up there saying, we couldn't hardly get the meat and stuff with four people. How do you do it by yourself? I looked at them, I said, well, it's all in preparation. And I said, four people would drive me crazy. I'm sorry. You know, I'm just used to me and my wife and maybe one other just taster in the thing. He really doesn't have a vote for anything, but you know, I find when I go into these contests by myself, you almost have to stay a little more focused, and you gotta set your finishing up different too. Do you find you do that differently when you're by yourself, or?
You know, it's just, yeah, you got to be a lot more prepared. You know, whereas, you know, when you got two or three people there, if you forget something, you know, you've got somebody that can take care of whatever you forgot while you're still doing whatever it is at that point that you need to do. So, you know, you just got to really be, kind of, you know, like you said, more focused and just more organized, I think, is the best way to put it. You know, and then really understand, you know, the distance between your site and the turn-ins, how long that's going to take, and be prepared, you know, based on that. I think the thing I miss the most is not really oftentimes having that 5 or 10 minutes between turn-ins where I can sit down and catch my breath and, you know, get a drink of water or Gatorade, and, you know, get the site cleaned up. So I really, you know, try to have, before chicken turn-in, I try to have kind of station set up where I've got all the stuff I'm going to need for chicken. I got all the stuff I'm going to need for ribs. I got all the stuff I'm going to need for pork and all the stuff I'm going to need for brisket. Whereas if I'm cooking, you know, with someone else, I usually don't get all that out until it's, you know, once chicken's turned in, I'll then get my stuff out that I'm going to need for ribs. Once ribs are turned in, I get my stuff out I'm going to need for pork. But when I'm by myself, I try to have everything ready to go, you know, around 11:30 or so, just have it all organized and easy access for turn-ins.
Then, of course, after turn-ins, it looked like a bomb went off.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think my site looks cleaner when I'm by myself because I know I've got to be cleaner because I've got to have a spot where I can put my box so I can do my box and there's not, you know, going to be sauce on it and things like that. I really do. I think I should do that sometime. I should take some photos of like a contest of my site that I'm cooking with multiple people at a site where I'm just doing it by myself. But I really think a lot of times it's just it turns out where I'm so focused and so organized and know that I have to be cleaner that I actually end up being cleaner by myself than when I've got a teammate or two there with me.
Yeah, because another thing, too, you've got to realize you're going to be cleaning up by yourself, too.
Yeah, we travel pretty light. And so, a typical contest for us, with or without another teammate, I'm usually packed up and ready to roll by 3 o'clock. You know, so I usually turn in my brisket at 1:30. I come back, I sit down for half an hour and, relax, get something to eat, something to drink, and then I try to hit it hard between 2 and 3 o'clock to get my site cleaned up and my site all packed up and loaded in the truck and my trailer loaded onto my truck and then hit the awards. And then, right after awards, hopefully I come back and take a couple photos of some trophies and post that on Facebook and then hit the road and head home.
Yeah, it's like I said, you go back to all your preparation stuff. There's some lists and stuff out there that you can have to get to do these contests and stuff. And if people had that class, mentioned Rod Gray a lot of a few times. He's really truthfully a great pit master, and just in everything that he does and teaches and how he promotes barbecue and all. So,
without question, Rod is. Yeah, and the great thing about Rod is as good of a pit master as he is, he's 10 times as good of a person.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's just about as good of a person as you can find. And no question that much of our success is thanks to his counsel and wisdom. Never taken his class, but probably to the envy of many pit masters out there, was invited by Rod to come help him at a contest that Sherry wasn't going to be able to come. And so probably got a better class than even a class because I was right there beside him at an actual contest he ended up taking RGC at. And I walked away with lots of valuable lessons that day and a great friendship.
Yeah, I took his class 2 years ago. And I think the second contest I was at it, I got a reserve. So it was sweet. I mean, just that one contest paid more than for the class.
Oh, yeah.
And, like I said, it's hard to explain to new teams or people who have taken the class. Several really good fit masters out there. I just took Rod because Johnny was with him. I had a double teacher going on. And, it was just one of the deals where I just couldn't pass up. You get two great pit masters like that sharing everything that they've got that you learned over the years. And when you're looking at classes, you got to look at the longevity of some of these pit masters. You got to look at what kind of bang you get for your buck, And, these two do it well, Three Eyes and Rub Bagby do it very well. Big game team.
Dan and Chris are on fire out here for sure with Three Eyes.
Oh, yeah. They're great to be around. Very approachable people, and especially if you have some Patron, especially if you have some Patron, you can get invited to the trailer and all sorts of good stuff. I don't think they go anywhere without that cactus juice. I can be honest with you.
They like to have fun, but when it's time for business, they're most definitely all business, and I think that's easy to tell by their success in the last 18 months. Team of the Year last year, 7 GCs heading to the Jack, and just good guys, good barbecue, and like you said, good advocates for the sport. I hate to do this to you, but I think it's about 8:10, and my wife is looking at me like, when are we going to eat?
Well, you better feed her.
I just pulled a rotisserie chicken off the grill that's calling my name and her name, I think.
Okay, she hasn't been known on the chicken wing, has she?
No, she's stayed inside.
Well, go ahead and enjoy your dinner. I'm sorry to catch you this long, but it was great hearing from you, and good luck in all your successes, and I know you want to plug in, you know, any pork barrel product, barbecue products that are out there. You need to try them. And, you know, like I said, they're in a lot of the retail stores and everything. So, you know, they're not that hard to find.
So, yeah, check us out at porkbarrelbbq.com. And I say in the next month or so, we'll have an updated website. It's going to have a really nice interactive map where you'll be able to find a location, retail location near you. But, well, good luck to you on your quest for 7. We'll be pulling for you, and hopefully we will see you on the road sometime over the next couple months.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, Heath, and thanks for calling in and enlightening us on Pork Barrel Barbecue, and good luck to your next ventures, and good luck with your new restaurant. We're really pulling for you, and if I can make it up that way, I'll definitely stop in and see y'all.
Please do, please do. All right, buddy.
All right,
have a happy 4th of July.
You too. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. So that was Heath Hall from Pork Barrel Barbecue up there in Washington, D.C. We've got a very special guest that's going to come on here shortly. He can go ahead and call in if he wants to, if he's listening. But he should be on here within about 4 or 5 minutes. But anyway, get back to the teams. You know, for all the new teams out there, we were in your shoes at one time. And we've been very blessed with, you know, 5 grands and several reserves and this year. So it goes without saying, when you take one of these classes from a reputable pit master, it's going to really shorten the learning curve. So you've got several really good teams out there doing classes all over the country. And I really don't think you go wrong with any of them, but you know, look at Raffle Ones, of course, look at your wallet, see what you can afford, and, you know, go with somebody who's been around for, you know, several years, in my opinion, is what I look for, and saw where they're at each year, see if the longevity, if they didn't wane, or, you know, if they were still up in the top year after year after year. So these are some of the qualities you need to look for when you're looking to do a barbecue class. And it's not like a regular backyard barbecue. This is, you know, it's a lot of technique, which really helps, you know, and, of course, your spice blends and how you prep everything from how you pick your meat out to prepping your meat, trimming your meat, you know, different timelines on when to rub it, when to sauce it, if to inject. There's so many different variables in doing these competitions that a lot of people just don't grasp. Like I said, my next guest will be on here shortly, and he does do some classes. He is pretty much about world-renowned, and after this past weekend, a lot more people know him. But he's a great guy, too. So, and speaking of which, on you know, barbecue pit masters, it was really good, in my opinion, to see three really strong pit masters go head to head in barbecue pit masters past Sunday. They're truly competition barbecue cooks. They're out there doing it, you know, week in and week out, and you know, they know what it's about. If you looked at the boxes, all the boxes were nice and clean. Nothing was thrown in there. Everything was sliced perfect. Perfect. I mean, that just tells you the difference in a competition team and a, say, just a restaurant that comes out there. You know, I'm a big advocate about, you know, they need, in my opinion, they need to get, if they're going to do a competition format, then they need to get teams that have proven themselves in competition, number one. Number two is they need to get, if they do pull other teams, they need to make sure that they have done their homework. And this is for any of you teams that are out there that, you know, any restaurants, whatever, that are out there planning on getting on Barbecue Pit Masters, is to do your homework. Go online. Go to these, you know, these barbecue forums. Go find, you know, some pictures. Go do a contest. Go do something to get your feet wet before you go into this, because it's competition format. And if you, like I said, if you saw from this past week, it really showed. I mean, the best of the best were on there. All of them won several grands, several times over. And they're very meticulous in their food. And if they had a problem, they knew exactly what to do, what to turn in, what not to turn in. So it's all a, you know, it's all a preparation, and it's all knowing what you're doing. And like I said, these three pit masters on there, they've been there before. They weren't sweating, they weren't hooting and hollering, they weren't, you know, going stir crazy. They were all calm, cool, and collective, and, you know, it showed on TV. So that's the kind of format that I look for in these barbecue pit masters. And, you know, so when you do a class, go ahead and, you know, like I said, find your reputable person to take a class from, and you won't be sorry. It's really good to have somebody who's been around the block a few times. And, you know, if you got any questions in these classes, don't feel free. Feel free to ask them. Don't hesitate. They'll answer them. I'm sure with the experiences that these pit masters have, they have been there, done that, you know, several times over, and they can, you know, rectify problems. A lot of times, too, these contests, it's how you're always going to probably have some adversity. So it's important to know how you can overcome that adversity and everything and still have a, you know, really strong cook. We've got another caller on. It's 863-324. Is this you, Rub?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
I know you had a big party down there last night watching you on Barbecue Pitmasters. How'd that feel?
Oh, that was fun. We had some friends over and had a little viewing party and cooked up some crummy barbecue and had a good time watching the show.
Well, you wasted it all on the show.
What's that?
I said you wasted all your good barbecue on the show.
Yeah, I used it up. Hopefully I got a little bit more left in me. I got to catch up with people like you, man. You've been tearing it up.
Yeah, we've been lucky. Like I said, we made a few deals out there with some other teams, and you know, it's always good to have a good little, I'm not going to say teammates, but, you know, people you can, I know in Florida there's a few going around, you know, something's not hitting, you tweak a recipe and you get kind of, like my brisket was hitting and his chicken was hitting, those were our Achilles. So, you know, we just kind of traded recipes and stuff to get each other going again. And, you know, Bob from 2 Old Men and the Grill, me and him have been pretty tight lately, and we've been so-called mooching off one another, and it's really showed in both of us, you know, moving up. So I made some deals with the right people, and yeah, we've just been having some good, you know, some good solid cooks. And the judge was the last one in Apex. We had a lot of new judges that really scared the crap out of me. Because, you know, a lot of times new judges like real smoky food. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, we came out on top. So, but you've been tearing it up earlier in the year, too, man.
I started off the year real good. I sped up to number 6 pretty quick, and I've been sitting there. And then the Pitmaster stuff came up, and that's taken me away from several contests. And then summer hit here in Florida, and all the contests are up north now. So I've had nothing to cook for quite a while, and it's getting frustrating just sitting around waiting. I want to get out there and try and get lucky and get that number 7 in the books.
Yeah. Now, how many of those were in, all those in Florida?
I think so. I can't remember off the top of my head. There was one. Yeah, I guess I've actually won more than 7 during the year, but 2 of them weren't qualifiers.
Yeah.
I guess I've won 9. One of them was a Sam's Club. Those, of course, aren't qualifiers. And then one was an FBA Fun Cook.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you were on fire. You were well on your way. And I know Florida and Case Fest, I mean, there's a little bit of mainly a scoring change in it. I think I've only done 1 FBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, you know, SBN Team of the Year. It's a 2-meat category sanctioning body, so to speak. And So it was something kind of get me kick-started. I did several of them beginning of the year, kind of knocked the rust off, and we did very well in them. So, but now I'm, you know, I'm just strictly focused on KCBS and making it to the Jacks.
Yeah.
Get in there, and I've got another teammate who's going to – I need two more for my ESPN team gear points and stuff. And I got another teammate that's with me that does very well. And he's in backyard right now. He's fixing to move up to pro before too long. So it's going to probably take for a couple of the ESPNs because I've got some flaws in my schedule with Sam's Club and a couple other things coming up on some of the bigger ESPN events. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be him in my place to hopefully get Killer B's another grand or two in that. But, yeah, it's tough, man. It's you know, we had a hell of a run with the last seven we did. We got seven more coming up that are tough, and I believe you're going to be at least, two of those next ones? You're going to be in Dillard and Franklin this year?
Yeah. Yeah, we sure will. We'll see you there.
But we'll make sure we have some of that apple pie up there for you. And
that sounds good.
And maybe we won't have to all sit up on the one.
No. We were huddled up under there pretty tight.
Oh, man, it was – Old poor Steve from Smoke Disc was sitting in the middle, and he didn't know what to think.
That was a good time.
Oh, yeah, it was. That's what a lot of these things are made up of. And, you know, Damon's been on the show a few times, and I had to compete against him down at Fans Club, and it just shocked the living crap out of me. He didn't make it through, but he told me, he said, man, my poor Smoke Disc weren't there today. And, you know, he's strong. And, right, they weren't there. I mean, it was between me and him after two categories, and I didn't know which way it was going to go. But, yeah, I hate he didn't have to get in there, but, you know, it is what it is up there. Now, when's your next contest you got coming up? Yeah, does Florida slow down a little bit during the summer? Or?
Yeah, it just gets so hot down here. I mean, it wouldn't bother me to keep cooking, but the organizers, I guess it's hard for them to get a bunch of the public out in the heat. So, my next one won't be until Damon's contest over at up in Live Oak. That's in about the week before Dillard.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to have him on here again probably next week pushing that contest. He is a little upsetting because they had to move it, but he showed a site. He's got a little YouTube video out there of the site, and it looked really shady and, you know, that southern look with all the big oaks with the – Spanish moss hanging off it and everything. It looked like a pretty cool event site.
Yeah, the original site was just incredible. I love that place. But, you know, it's a privately owned place on the Suwannee River, and I don't know what happened. I've had a couple of issues dealing with them doing my Q school up there in the past, and I think they like to see dollar signs in their eyes, and I don't know if that's what the problem was or what, but... It's real unfortunate because it was a beautiful location. It was my favorite location to go to just about. But, that said, Damon's a hell of an organizer, and he'll put on a great contest wherever he is.
Yeah, he seems like he's got his ducks in a row, and I know everybody loved to go down there to smoke on Suwannee. Last year it got really blew up big, and, you know, he's able to overcome some of the logistic problems and stuff, but, you know, that's all part of it. But at least he's got a game plan when he goes into it, and, you know, he makes amends for things that, you know, when things don't go right, he tries to make them right. And that's the sign of a really good organizer, you know.
Yeah.
Some people just give up.
Right. You can take him at his word and count on it.
Yeah, he's a great guy, too. And a fierce competitor, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
We talked earlier about, you know, Rod Gray and stuff and doing schools and stuff. And I was kind of plugging you in. I didn't want anybody to really know who's coming on next. But I've had several of my friends that's taking your class and have done really well with all that. You want to go into a little bit of that? And I know you and three guys did a class together. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, you got any more classes coming up this year or?
I do. I've got one. I've had one. I scheduled it maybe a month or so ago. It's actually coming up in just a few weeks. It's July 12 and 13, and it's going to be in Claremont, which is kind of easy to get to in Florida. It's right off of the turnpike and pretty close to I-75. But we do, you know, my class, I've had, oh gosh, I've probably taught 150 people or so over the years. And we have everybody from just backyarders, you know, who know nothing, to restaurant owners who want to start, you know, doing barbecue. And then the majority of the people are competitors. Probably 25% are pretty well seasoned, and they're just looking for a few more things to get them up over the edge and get them up high consistently. And probably 25% are new competitors. So, you know, I pretty much go over everything that I do involved with the contest from beginning to end, starting with shopping for the meats, you know, what I'm looking for there. You know, talk about sizes and weights and qualities that I'm looking for, and you know, the different grades of everything and all that good stuff. Talk about all the choices there are and, you know, my opinions on different things. And then, of course, we go through it's primarily a techniques class. And I've always, you know, said that, you know, I don't give out my specific recipes. But then I've had several people in the last few classes tell me that, you know, I'm kind of shortchanging myself there, that while I might not give out my exact recipes, I give out, you know, we discuss flavor profiles and what works and what doesn't and why it works. And, you know, they said, you're giving out more recipes than you realize. You're giving out a lot of good information there. So I don't know, take it for what it's worth. But I do give out what I won the ribs with at Jack Daniels a couple of years ago. I give that recipe because it quit hitting for me. But so we do all that. We start at about noon on Friday and go up until supper time, and then I've got to serve us a prime rib dinner. And then we sit around and BS around the fire or whatever, and everybody comes back in the morning about 7 o'clock for some breakfast and get back at it. And I won't say we really follow a turn-in schedule too much. You know, we just kind of go with where the meats are. And, you know, obviously I can't stay on a half-hour turn-in schedule because I want to teach what's going on. And, you know, I really take a lot of time on slicing and boxing and picking out, you know, how, why I'm picking out what I'm picking out to turn in and stuff like that. A lot of details. We're usually done by about 2:30, 3 o'clock, give or take a half hour either way. And then I stick around, answer anybody's questions until everybody's satisfied, and then it's go time.
Yep. Now you do, I tried my most classes, and you probably do it too. You go all the way from picking out your meat, what to look for in the whole preparation process and everything too, don't you?
Yeah, sure do. Yep. I mean, it's every, you know, people said, oh, well, I know you're probably holding back on this or that. And I was like, no, I swear to you. That's why I'm doing a techniques class, because I don't mind showing you exactly everything I do there, you know. So, yeah, it covers everything absolutely everything I do except for my recipes.
But that's just it. You know, people can make recipes their own anyways. You know, Rod Gray gave us his recipes, and I don't know if anyone followed them to a T right now. I don't even know if he still is right now, because my opinion, you still have to tweak. And I think you mentioned something a while back that you went back to something that was hitting about 2 years ago and started hitting again. And
yeah.
So you always keep notes. I mean, this is all part of the technique. Is you got to keep your notes. You got to know exactly what you did, because all you're doing is really basically tweaking your recipes. And, you know, sometimes you can get so far out there you don't know how to come back. Well, that's when you know, you keep the recipes on the computer or written down somewhere where you can go back to them, you know, a year or two from now. So, damn, that was hitting really good back then, and I've gone this far away from it. I need to go back to it, and it'll surprise you. But,
oh, exactly. I totally agree. I got away from taking notes for a while, and things started slipping off, and probably a year ago, I went back to taking, you know, pretty detailed notes of what I was doing and stuff, or, you know, mostly flavor notes and stuff, and went back and looked at some of my old stuff when things were hitting, and it's just like you said, you know, why did I move away from using this kind of wood? What happened? What, you know, and then I stopped and I thought about it. Well, now I remember I couldn't get a load of that kind of wood that time, so I tried this, and then that's kind of when things started falling off. So, you know, it's if you take good notes, usually it's all right there in front of your face, and you can figure out what's going on.
Exactly, because then there's no trying to think of what you did back then. It's written down, you can see it, it's right in your hand, and you can go from there. And a lot of people say, well, I got the techniques down and all this. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, one reason why my pork has started doing so well is I made another deal with a South Carolina team who was just hammering pork in SCBA last year. I mean, he was just hammering. He was going out to Vegas. And I swear, it was the same day I'm like, you know, I need to call this guy. And it wasn't an hour and a half later, he called me. He said, dude, I got to have some brisket help. He said, I'll pay you for class, do whatever. I've got to have some brisket help before I go out to the World Food Championships, make a fool out of myself. I said, good, I need some pork help. I need to know what you're doing with pork. He started saying, well, this is what I do. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'll tell you what. I said, the best way for me to show you how to do brisket, because, you know, as a new brisket cook, it was probably, you know, 20 years ago for you, but I can remember, I couldn't really remember the parts of the brisket, and, you know, if you hadn't done a few of them, you try to tell somebody on the phone how to trim it, it's not going to be right. So he came over, I got a shop in my backyard. I had, it was actually just before the Hendersonville contest up there, we all were all at, and I was trimming my Wagyu brisket in there, and I said, this is how I do this, and showed him step by step, and I was having to cook two for my wife's sandwich shop. So I said, here, y'all practice on those. He said, you sure? I said, yeah, the best way to do it is the hands-on. So they did the first one. I was like over the shoulder, you know, telling them how to trim it and everything. They did a good job, and I gave them the second one. I said, here, you're on your own. They trimmed it the same way. He told me, you know, the following week that he trimmed these up, and he said, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, if it wasn't for that hands-on experience and you showing us exactly what to do, he said, I've never gotten just the trimming part of it. And I said, well, that's one meat. I said, it's kind of like your pork. You know, your technique in pork is 95% different than anything else I've ever seen, but it worked. Mm. And, you know, just from trimming it and everything. And I said, so, you know, well, you don't think that's a big deal. You know, to me, this is how I always trim them, but it's a big deal. It's all part of the technique. And I said, you know, part of the technique, too, is cooking it. I said, you know, you got to know how to cook it. If it's not cooked right, you're not going to score with a crap either way.
Right.
So, you know.
No matter what recipe you got on it.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, they don't give us the recipes. They don't do that. And I'm looking at them thinking, well, you're probably just going to change them anyway. But I said, if you taste the flavor profile, you know, then you can kind of mimic that and go from there, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good rubs out there. You know, I know you've got some products out there, and, you know, it's like I said, every team's going to kind of mold it into what they want if it works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, techniques is a really, really big part of that. So how was your experience with Barbecue Pitmasters? I know a lot of people want to hear about that. I know you can't say a whole lot, but,
You
know.
I'll tell you what, it was a blast. I didn't send in a tape, but then they kind of requested that I send one in. So I did, and, you know, I don't have any video skills. I had my 13-year-old daughter videotape my wife and I on the iPad, and, I mean, it was just rough as could be. And, you know, so, you know, if anybody's thinking about doing that, don't worry so much about the quality of your video. Just, you know, the biggest thing is just be yourself and interact with your partner. And, you know, they invited us in. We went up there to Martinsville. It was pretty cool because, you know, ours was the only one that was not filmed at a barbecue contest. And I had never been to Virginia to compete, obviously. And it was exciting being there on race weekend, just tons of fans And they didn't tell us until the when was it? I guess it was Saturday morning. They let us know about the surprise. You know, somebody's going to be coming in. They didn't say who though. But we were looking around and we saw the Diet Mountain Dew stuff on the fence, and I hadn't seen that before. So you know, we kind of all put two and two together and realized, kind of figured it was probably Junior was going to be the guest. And it was really cool when he came around the corner. You know, it's pretty much just like you saw. We knew somebody was coming, but didn't know who. And you know, it was fun talking to him. He was a little, I don't want to say shy, but he kind of acted like he felt like he was out of his element a little bit. But
little did he know y'all were the ones that were starstruck.
Yeah, really, no kidding. My wife got a little upset with him. She didn't say anything to him, but because he called her ma'am. He said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Oh, man, he thinks I'm old." I said, "Hey, he's a Southern guy. That's the way they talk."
That's it. It's just, I'll tell people younger than me, "Yes, ma'am," whatever, "Yes, sir." That's the way we do it, you know. Just, and
like I said,
that doesn't mean that you're old or anything, but but yeah, he probably looked at you and you know, said, "Well, either she's really young or, you know."
Yeah, I plucked a young one. But it was fun. You know, I don't know what to tell you. It's pretty much like it showed. There were some things in there that I wish they would have made the show. You know, like the three teams competing, had a lot of fun with each other. We were, you know, they always want you to encourage you to trash talk and, you know, try to get everybody riled up. But, I mean, I'd known Tommy from before, and, you know, the three of us were all just good friends. And we went out and did shots of moonshine several times. You know, I had some bells out there from the best of the best, and about every half hour I'd ring the bell, and we'd all go out in front and do a big slug out of the mason jar, and you know, just fun stuff like that. But I guess they didn't want that on the show. There was one thing that was hilarious. I was pulling my membrane off the baby backs. My wife was standing over my right shoulder, and I've done
this
before. Yeah, you know, when they kind of pop loose and they snap back, I popped her right in the face with them. I don't know where the camera guy was, but he didn't get it. I thought that would have been awesome to get on.
You probably said, "Can I do a recheck on that?"
Yeah. I don't think she would have stood for that one.
No, your wife would have said, "Let me pull the membrane off."
Yeah, exactly.
but
it was a lot of fun.
I like the little captions they had of you. So it was so Rob that, you know, when you said something, you know, you had that you on a backdrop, and you said, "Yeah, that was real smart, Rob."
When I said, was that when I told Dale Jr., I said, "I want to be just like you, except in the barbecue world." And then I said,
"Yeah,
real cool, Rob. Way to be cool."
Real cool. There you go.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I thought, man, that was a stupid thing to say.
But you know, that's you. It did show your personality. But like you said, you know, it's hard to sit there and smack talk friends that you've known and competed against. And, you know, it is. I mean, it doesn't have to always be about smack talking and stuff. You know, it's a gentleman's thing. And, you know, people are happy to see, you know, a buddy of yours wins or whatever. So, you know, everybody's happy for one another. But, you know, if it was north and south, it might be a little bit different. But, you know, it's really good for me. And I've said this on Facebook and stuff before. It's really good to see really three true pit masters going head to head. You don't have guys picking out of the trash can that owns a restaurant. You don't have this, don't have that, you know, a great backyard cook or whatever that cooks for his neighborhood. You know, because, you know, it's, and the biggest thing is it's competition format.
Mm.
So, you know, if you're not used to the competition, then do your daggum homework, you know. Don't just a boxer, just, you know, well, this works for me here. I'll go ahead and do it. You know, do some homework, get on the forum, do something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just showed, you know, y'all had some adversity. You didn't. It looked like your cook went like butter. And,
it was a piece of cake.
But, you know, it's one of them things where, you know, like with Tommy, he knew exactly what to do. He knew not to turn that skin in on that turkey. He knew he screwed up or, you know, that it was cooking. But, you know, you get a little antsy when you're in that type of competition or whatever. So, you know, some things cook a little quicker. Sometimes it doesn't cook quick enough. But you know, it just showed the pitmaster and all y'all, especially him, that, you know, well, I know this ain't going to score good with the skin on. I'm going to try with the skin off.
Right.
So, you know, but that just shows the diversity that some of us go through to do all this.
We knew he was having problems. I bet it was 3 hours before turn-in time, and I heard his electric knife going, and I looked over there, and he's taking the daggum breast off the turkey, and I'm like, oh, Tommy, what's happening, man? That can't be good. And he was just, it was making him a nervous wreck. He just, he even said to me afterwards, he says, man, I'm just not cut out for this stuff. Not the, you know, not the cooking part. He just says, I just get too stressed over it, and with the cameras there, and it's too uncomfortable or something. I mean, he did a great job in the show. He kicked my butt probably in ribs, but he just got kind of stressed and freaking out about stuff. But I was concerned for him when I heard that knife going so early. It's like, oh, I hope he's not cutting ribs this early. So that turkey being parted out, I'm like, oh man, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, didn't really show him all that stressed out. You know, I know he's probably more, kept a lot inside of him, but the show did show him, like, you know, just totally freaking out like some people would. And,
he was totally under control, but, I could just tell talking to him that he wasn't feeling good about stuff.
That's what we call him.
Yeah. It was a good time. We were teasing Tom Duncan. We were teasing him on the other side a bunch because he was, you know, it's mostly the husbands were the pit masters and the wives were the assistants. And so we teased him a whole bunch about being the wife for the weekend. And he was a good sport about all that. He had a good time. He said, I'm going to go stand over here with the wives now.
How many times did he get called pit bitch?
Oh, quite a bunch. But he took it like a trooper. He was a great sport.
Yeah.
Great sport.
You know, that's all part of this thing, though. You know, you could see he was wearing a pink shirt up underneath his barbecue pit master shirt.
Yep, so he could.
She beat him in the last one, I suppose.
Yeah,
so,
I would imagine so. And, you know, they've actually put her pit, it's up for sale now, that Jambo.
Really?
If anybody's looking, I saw it, man. That thing is huge and beautiful.
Yeah. But, now, what are you cooking on?
Yoders.
Those are pellet smokers?
I've got the stick burner as a Kingman, a Yoder Kingman. And then I've got their new 1340 pellet cooker. And they didn't really show the pellet cooker at all. Mostly the stick burner.
Probably didn't.
I'm sorry?
Well, I got they didn't really show it on there. You know, you know, I could tell it was one of those new Yoders, but, you know, a lot of people couldn't. We got another call on here, Rob, that somebody you might know.
All right.
Hello, 229, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Michael Nixon. What's going on?
How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing good, brother. And, hey, man, you looked good on TV last night, man.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm trying to be like you, buddy.
Yeah. You did. Hey, congratulations, man. That was a hell of a show, man. I think that's the best pit matches I've seen yet. I like the whole NASCAR. It was just, I don't know, it went well together, you know?
It did. I wish they would do more at NASCAR events. You know, they're tied in with Sky Mountain Dew.
Exactly. I'd do a whole season of just NASCAR and Pitt. That would be great. It would. It makes sense. It does.
Oh, yeah. That would grow the sport
NASCAR
tremendously.
NASCAR Pitmaster. That's the new show. But you know, Michael, I know you have a lot to do with this and everything, with your daddy up there and everything, but to me it was really refreshing to see three actually true professional barbecue pit masters go head to head.
You dang right. And I said the same thing, like no more restaurant podunk. I mean, don't get me wrong, they should have a chance too, but this one, it should have been, with that kind of venue and that status and all that going on, it made me feel good to know there was three actual high caliber teams there that actually go head to head with each other. It was nice. Very nice.
Well, I mean, you look at the box, it was just so professional. You know, the guys aren't going to sit there and talk smack to one another because they know one another, you know?
Exactly. It was real.
It was real, exactly. And that's what I really liked about it. You know, it was really disheartening. The last couple ones, I started looking at them, I'm like, you know, this is getting too, you know, it gets almost like too TV-ish. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, with the way this is, I think this, I love the format with the three professional pit masters on there, and, you know, they knew what to do. They weren't sweating. You know, Tommy had a little issue with the turkey, but, I mean, all in all, there weren't really any that many problems. I guess it makes for bad TV because there's not all these adversities out there for people to overcome.
Yeah, you're right.
That might be part of the reason why they do get the less experienced people, because it makes it, you know, it's when things go super smooth, it's not a whole lot to watch and talk about.
You're right. But I think with that venue, though, with all that going on, Dale Jr. and everything, I think they picked the right guys to go with it. I do. Very professional.
Well, I was proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, man, that was cool. I enjoyed it. I really did.
So what's been up there? Go ahead, Mike.
Let me ask this question for real, man. How is it to be down the pits, man? Like, I saw it on TV. You know, you can't really justify it. You know, it's just, tell me how, you probably already answered this question tonight. I want to know exactly what you felt, man. That's got to be a rush.
You should have seen the grin on my face the whole time. we walk in. Well, the first thing, Sunday morning, they rushed us over to the NASCAR headquarters, the NASCAR trailer, to get our credentials. And, you know, that's like the heartbeat of the whole organization there, and got to go in there and meet some people and get our hot passes. And, you know, then you walk into that. I'd never been to that track, and it's like a huge bowl. And, you know, it was just as if we were part of the crew. We were walking in among them, went in while they're eating lunch, and they showed us everything. Well, I'm sure not everything, but more than I would have ever expected. And, you know, their computer programs are using it. You know, everything, set us up with the headphones and everything. And then got to go up in the pit box, and I'm sitting there right behind Rick Hendrick's chair at the pit box. So, I mean, you know, my wife and I are sitting up there, and I'm just grinning ear to ear, looking like a kid on Christmas morning. And then up walks Rick Hendrick and shakes my hand and goes, sits in his seat, and it's like, holy smokes, man, this is too cool. It was just unbelievable. it was a rush.
It's got to be, man. I bet that was unforgettable, man. That's crazy.
It was. I mean, everybody was just so cool and, you know, so nice to us, and coming up talking, you know, saying, oh, my God, your ribs were, you know, because we took our ribs over and fed them to the crew. And, you know, of course, they just loved them, and, you know, very complimentary. And, well, here, let me show you this. Come on, you guys need to come with us and tour and get our barbecue cooks. And I'm like, I'm in. But it was something I'll never forget. It. That was a fantastic prize.
Hell yeah.
We're on the way home. You know, we got a long drive home, and my wife is just so excited. And she's talking to her girlfriends on the phone, and without telling them, you know, stuff she couldn't say. I heard her say a couple different times, oh my gosh, this was the best trip I've ever been on in my whole life. And I thought, man, that's what it's all about right there.
Right there, yeah, sure. That's awesome.
So, it was cool.
Yeah.
So, Michael, what you been up to? I know you and your dad are pretty big this year.
Yeah, man, it's on top. You know, I've been with them most of the time, just filming for the Pitmaster on the weekend. I use a cater for them and stuff. Not all the time. I couldn't go to the track, which really upset me, man. That was like the one venue I would love to see, but you know what I mean. But
I filled in for you.
Yeah, man, that place. That's the one venue I wanted to see, but all the rest of them are good, but they don't reach that status of awesomeness. But anyway, we've kind of been focusing on the smoker line. I mean, the new commercial unit we're trying to come out, the new rotisserie, and Daddy's really, he's passionate about that. He's really getting into, and he's starting to do a new packaged food. So he's mixing smoked meats. So he's really, I mean, he's really trying to get into things that he's always wanted to accomplish on top of the competition side. He's always wanted to have, like, his own smoker, something he's confident in his own packaged meat. And, you know, he's really, that's pretty much what we're kind of working on, making things happen in that realm and just helping him out as much as possible. But, you know, competing. I'm going to New Jersey in the morning, flying out there. There's a charity thing for the Jersey Shore, the hurricane that hit. And we're going out there to do a charity event and, trying to help out, give back, and enjoy the ride.
That's cool. The packaged meat. I didn't know he was doing that.
Yeah, man, he's trying to. The smoker's great and all, and he loves those. He's been around them so long, but he's never, the packaged meat thing's so new to him, and what goes into it, he's never taken into consideration, and none of us have, and it's an amazing process. Like, especially when you do mass distribution, just huge quantities, it's just unreal what goes into it. Unbelievable.
Man,
it's crazy. But that's pretty much all we got going on, just trying to stay busy, keep our sanity, and keep moving.
Living the dream.
Y'all still doing a lot of classes, aren't you? Y'all still doing a lot of classes.
We got one coming up at the end of this month, actually. We try to do one a month, and I don't think we'll do one in August. Again, I'll tell you one thing. Down here in South Georgia, these gnats touch your ass off. it's crazy, man. It's hard to do cook schools with all that heat and those gnats, man. These guys come from all around the world, but up north usually they want to come down. And they're over there. They got their damn newspaper just swatting at these things. But again, it's fun, but it's a job. Definitely during the summer, it's a job.
Well, it's funny you said that. I went to school in Tipton at ABAC, and our first year there, you're swatting them with your hand, you're doing everything else, and then the next year you laugh at everybody else that's doing it because you're used to them, so you just kind of blow them away from your face, you know.
Yeah.
And it's funny to say you see these people just swatting, just getting irate with these damn gnats. I'm like, dude, man, you're in the gnat capital of the world. You got 30,000 head of cattle across the street for the University of Georgia Experiment Station, so you got all that crap laying out there. There's flies flat-footed, they could breed a turkey. So, I mean, it's just all sorts of stuff out there. And I'm like, dude, this is killing you. This ain't the school for you.
I'm telling you, man. It ain't as bad as what rubbing them got down there. Those sand gnats actually bite you. So we're actually got it going on up here. Woo!
Yeah, those things can get bad if you're on the coast. They will tear you up.
Rub puts that smoke out there. They don't come around him. So, So, Michael, did you enjoy your cook up there in D.C.? I had Heath on earlier, and he talked about it.
I did, man. I did enjoy. We didn't do as well as I thought. It's very distracting. You got a lot more people that really love the show. I mean, they love everything about, you know, just the whole barbecue scene. A lot more people are getting involved in it, and people you don't even think about. And people that don't even have grills, that can't afford or can't have a grill because they live in an apartment up there, but they still love the show, and it's just so, I mean, Daddy got swamped, man. It was just amazing to see how many people just, he couldn't focus on the cook, so I kind of had to take rein on that. And still, they had to pull me out of a trap. I don't know. It's just chaotic. But at the same time, it's fun to see how many people enjoy what you do. And it's cool, man. It's really, I like the people. They're good people, and they respect you. I respect them. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, when you become a superstar like you and your daddy, you know, you gotta get lost in the crowd.
Hey, first off, superstar, that's daddy's status. Me, no. I'm telling you, he's like, it's unbelievable. These people, these women, oh man, I wish I had that status. They about tear his clothes off.
Oh, God.
And I hate he ain't a single man. I'm telling you, he would. Whoo.
Oh, man. Hey, Dolph, we're going to have to throw some rub on it because I ain't looking at that light.
Oh, man.
No, nah, it's fun, though. It's very fun. We enjoy every cook-off. I just love competing, and I rub can relate to that. It's just nothing like it. Nothing like the people.
That's the best part of the whole thing.
That's it.
You know, the whole thing about this is promoting the sport about barbecue, you know. And, you know, your daddy's done a lot for it. Rub's out there doing it, you know, and doing the classes and stuff. And it's just the whole nine yards with all the teams out there and stuff. It's just really really getting into it, promoting the barbecue. You see more contests coming up, more teams. And, you know, we were talking earlier, there really are no gimmies anymore in the barbecue world, you know.
Yeah.
With all the classes and the media and the internet out there and everything, it's tough to win a grand these days.
Yes, it is.
I'll agree to that.
It damn sure is. I mean, it's hard to be a pioneer in this game, too, because a lot of things are being just figured out, you know what I mean, from process to methods, recipes. It's just tough. It's tough to stay ahead. It really is. It really is.
I mean, it's a good thing for the overall sport, though, because like I said, you got so many new teams coming in there, and you know, they're a little wet behind the ears, and you know, it's really, really cool to see somebody get their first call and everything, how excited they are. And
oh, yeah. And that's when you see them get the disease. They're hooked after that, you know?
Well, they get bit by the bug. So
oh, yeah. And they're hooked after that. So.
Yeah, everybody is. But you know, it's like I tell my wife, I said, there's a lot worse things I could be doing out there than doing this. And, you know, we really enjoy meeting new people and seeing old friends and just hanging out, and you know, if the mason jar gets passed around, but you know, it's just a lot of fun seeing all y'all out there, and we really enjoy the friendships we have and the whole big extended family from one coast to the next. You know, it's just really great, and
man.
You know, I'm blessed to be part of it, and I'm blessed to be doing as well as we are, and you know, we're just like I tell everybody, they all laugh. I just say I'm living a dream, and they just all start laughing. I'm like, no, seriously, I am. So
yeah, man, it's fun.
Life is good.
Damn sure is, man.
Something for the whole family. I mean, you look at you, Michael. You grew up in it. You know, it's something the whole family.
Yeah, I'm what they call brainwashed.
you're something. I'm not sure that's it, but you're something.
Thanks, Rob. Oh, man. No, it's fun. I do enjoy it. But what amazes me how drastically it's grown since I have been around it. Like, it's evolved in so many ways. Like, 8,000 teams, I think, were around in the just in the nation. It's grown tremendously just over the show or just the – it's just gotten so much hype, and everyone wants to get involved. You know, NASCAR, for example, not everybody can drive a $500,000 car on a track, but everybody go in the backyard and cook some meat, and if they think it's good enough, they come out there, pay entry fee, and they hop on in with the big boys. It's that simple, and it's caught on the last couple of years. It's amazing.
Yeah,
you're
barbecue pitmaster has a lot to do with that. The internet has a lot to do with that, and you know, people like your father and Tuffy, and you know, some of these up and up pitmasters, Mike Mills and all them, who are really actually some of the pioneers of the sport.
Yes.
Started to promote it, and people really love it. You know, they like seeing the smack talk. They like seeing the calm collective rub bag be out there. You know, and kind of it's a whole mishmash of personalities out there. But it works. You know, very very little drama out there now, and I mean everybody out there just kind of works. Everybody has a good time, and you know, you do your potluck dinners on either Thursday or Friday night or whatever, and you know, it's just great. It's just a lot of fun out there now.
Yeah, it is.
And of course, a lot of competition. So where are you off to next, Michael?
Competition-wise?
Yeah.
I think after we'll be in, North Carolina. Maggie Valley. Yeah, Maggie Valley. That'll be our next one. That's a, I think it's in KCBS in Maggie Valley. North Carolina, I believe, Maggie Valley.
Yep.
That's all I know. I heard Maggie Valley, and that's where I'm going.
Yep. Now, you doing an Old South or New South?
I'll do an Old South this coming up time. Daddy, as of right now, he's still occupying all his I think he got scared. He swept me under the rug for a minute. So it happens. You know, you catch up with him. It happens. It is what it is. I'm kidding. Meaning, I want to help him out as much as possible. I really do. He's working so hard to build his own thing, and I just told him. I mean, the guys that cook with him, they love doing it, and they've been behind him for years, like half a decade, if not longer. And he didn't want to just stop doing it and keep them from doing what they love as well. So he just put me as pit master temporarily till he gets done. He's going to jump back on board as soon as possible, and I think it'll be in the next month or so. But he wanted me to just go out there, build the boxes, maintain everything, and keep his guys fresh. Rub me tell you this. You stop doing this about 2 to 3 weeks, you get rusty. I mean, you start – it's just natural. It's human nature to forget things or just not be in that zone. But, he just put me in charge, and I'm honored to be in charge of one of the most prestige teams in barbecue. So here we are.
Yeah,
I agree, man. If you lay out for a couple of weeks and that you come back in, you start making some small mistakes.
Yeah.
I cook my best after I've been out for 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and then things really start clicking.
Yeah, especially when it comes down to that box build. It's so amazing what you like. Your attention to detail is so much more and on point when you're out there every weekend, just bam, 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 bam. And it's, it's crazy. I took 2 weeks off and I come back, I start making petty mistakes. I'm like, man, this is absurd. But
well,
it happens.
I was up in Kings Mountain. It was my first KCBS event this year. And I've done, GBA down in Perry and did some SBNs and a couple South Carolina Barbecue Associations. So, timelines all screwed up. So I'm sitting there with a piece of paper and I'm right next to Bob from Two of Them in the Grill, and I'm sitting there in my chair, and I write something down. I go down there, and I had to rip it up and throw it away. And after about three of them, he started laughing. He said, "What the hell are you doing over there?" And I told him, "I'm trying to get all my timelines down." He goes, "How many of these you cooked last year?" I said, "Well, I cooked, 30 events, but only 20 of them were KCBS. But I finished the year out in KCBS." He goes, "Well, why you got to write them times down? You don't know them by now." I said, "Bob, this is my first one. I said, my timelines are so screwed up now, I can't even figure it out on a piece of paper." he got a kick out of that, and I'm sitting there right now. I'm like, "Well, I can't do that because I got this. I can't do this because I got this." And it was all haywire. I mean, my brain wasn't functioning at that contest. So good thing I went up there on Thursday. I had all day Friday to get all my timelines right. But he got a kick out. But I mean, Rob, you got to make when you cook an FBA's pumping out certain times, your time changes a little bit with the KCBS.
Yeah, it takes a little tweaking to get things figured out and tuned back in, right? It's actually kind of nice because I can sleep in a little bit longer for KCBS contests.
Yep.
I enjoy that part of it.
Yep, that hour and a half pays off extremely.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, you've been going from a GBA to a KCBS, so I know there's some... Actually, it's a little bit better because you don't have to worry about finals and stuff. So, it's...
KCB, that's a tough one, man. 30 minutes between windows and garnish and all that. I mean, there's a lot of attention to detail on that stuff. And it's probably the most, besides NBN, the horse and pony show, doing the on-site presentations and all that political. I mean, that's how I grew up watching barbecue was NBN. But, again, KCBS, the scoring system and the detail, they're probably the most... prestige sanction, obviously they're conquering everything, but it's tough, man. It just takes a little, like FBA, we did a lot of those down to like Fort Myers, and our Rub was there with that one, and it's just like when you go to that, like something down there, and then you go straight into KCBS, it takes a little bit to get your mind on it, because you got to forget the garnish, you got to forget all the, it's all about the meat at that point. So I honestly like FBA because it's just about the meat, but I'm not down in KCBS. It's harder, it's tough, a lot more to it, but it's just I like meat in the box only. That's just a meat thing. It is what it is.
Yeah, me too.
And then the thing with the FBA, you can get everything cleaned up before your last turn in too. You got so much time in between there. If you do have a problem, you got plenty of time to rectify it. And
exactly.
A lot of people that do KCBS are like, "Well, I don't really care for Florida's style. I said, why? Well, you know, we're used to bang, 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 be done. I said, hell, I'd rather have a little bit of time in between there, because I said, you know, a lot of these contests, you know, they're not going to all go so smooth where you're going to be hitting exactly on your timeline. This could have a little, you know, a few minutes factor in there that, you know, whether you need to add flavor to it or put meat back on the grill and get it heated up real good or whatever, you know, it gives you time to concentrate on one meat at a time instead of four, bam, bam, bam. So, but no, it's been pretty good. So, I guess I'll see you up in Maggie Valley, Michael.
You're dang right, man. I'm looking forward to that. I've never been to that venue. I've heard good things there.
Yeah, from what I understand from Bob, he said that it used to be KCBS years ago. And it's just been a non-sanctioned event the last few years, but they're bringing it back as KCBS this year. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be a little cooler up in the mountains, and you know, there aren't as many gnats up there, I can tell you that. Mosquitoes aren't quite as big. but you know, I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know, I'm glad they got those contests up in the mountains during the summer. You know, Rose takes off all summer anyway, so he can go travel and stay up in that area and do two or three contests and have a mini vacation and come on back home and go back to school.
Yeah, we love to get up there out of the hot weather down here. I mean, going up to Dillard and Franklin is just so awesome for us, getting in the mountains. Even if it's just 10 degrees cooler, it just makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, like you said, you get to see all your friends from up that way, so it's a huge time. We love it.
Well, we're going to try to do more.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We're going to try to do more FBAs next year. I'm not going to go for SBN next year, so we're going to stick with four meat and take our lumps as we may. And I told Janice, you know, I had several events that coincide with the FBA events. I told Robbie from Rescue that, you know, I'll definitely do his event next year and a couple others. So I try not to pass one to go to another contest. So that's my big thing. If I had something, you know, 30 minutes away or something like that, with 3 hours away, I'll go do the 30-minute away one first. But that'll probably change next year. But so, Michael, are you doing any more GBAs this year? Are you doing FBAs or KCBS?
Well, probably not. I mean, I don't know. I just this might be an ego thing. I don't know what it is. I got the team of the year in it, so I'm kind of like, well, on to the next. It's kind of whatever. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. But no, I mean, I got hooked on FBA and KCBS. I mean, I don't cook enough of the KCBS to get the team of the year, but maybe one day I'd like to chase that FBA. I really respect them. I got good people, good judges. It's always so, the word intimate, but they make it a family, man. It's so no drama. FBA, I've never had it with KCBS, but I've just known FBA a little more, and I've always wanted to win that team of the year. You know, they got good people. I respect a lot of those teams. You know, from Rubs, Bud Meister, a lot of those guys down there. They're very, some of your best teams come out from the South, and they play in that sanction a lot. And it's just, well, that's the reason I'm kind of straying away from the GBA side of things right now. It's just I want to play against the big dogs. There's not many big dogs in that hunt anymore down there, and I want to play with the big dogs. That's the only way you get better is if you go against the best. So that's my bottom line with that.
Well, I know they've been trying to change the format of GBA for a little while, and I'll be honest with you, if they can get rid of finals and do something else to the other meet, you'd see that grow leaps and bounds. You really would.
Oh, yeah. You save money, you save everything. You don't have to prepare for finals, all that nonsense. Just, yeah, it's it got to be pricey, too. It does. It adds up, man. It really does, and it's just, it gets to be so irrelevant, it seems. And then you got these other sanctions, all these big teams of these other sanctions, and then they didn't ever come to play on the GBA side, so I was like, well, hell with it. I want to go play with the big boys and see how I stand up with them, and it's just, I stuck with it. I've been KCBS FBA the entire time now, so it's kind of is what it is.
Well, it's just a big waste of meat in the GBA.
Sure.
You know, I did one this year because I told Jan I wanted to do one, and I mean, we came in third overall and second in the overall, so to speak. But you know, it's you know, we didn't really make any money out of it. And, you know, it was like, well, if you win, you did really well. But if you placed, you did so-so. And so with the money you have out on the meet and all that, you know, it's to me, it's not really worth it. And looking at it from a competition cook standpoint, which a lot of these is, you know, we try to, you know, fund our barbecue contest for what we win. And, and you know, if we can be self-contained like that, we're going to keep doing as many as we can. But contests like that, you know, you got to kind of look at how many chances do I have to win my money back.
Sure.
So, but anyway, but now we're planning on doing a few more FBAs next year, and you know, get down and see some of the Florida guys every now and then. Because like I said, you know, Damon and Henry and all them guys. I mean, we just love hanging around them, and you know, when you get up against these HBA, they step right up in the boat and start hammering it again. I mean, it's like, you know, flavor profiles don't change, in my opinion, from FBA to KCBS. And the only thing is a little more greenery in the KCBS box. So, they're both great sanctioning bodies. I like them both. I'm looking forward to doing a few more next year. Well, Michael, you got any plugs, man? I'm glad you came on the show. And
no problem, man. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Shed some light, and you know, I saw you up there and trying that Pitmasters thing. I tried to holler at you, but you were talking to some of the women over there, so I just let you be.
There's a surprise, huh?
Don't you
never see that happen.
All I'm saying is don't judge me. Just don't judge me.
Michael, you don't be convicted, buddy. No judging.
The hardest working man in barbecue, but not for barbecue.
I guess that's what it's come to.
we don't hold nothing back in here.
That's good stuff.
It's big to see you up in Maggie Valley, Rev. I'll get to see you up in Dillard and stuff. And I said we'll hang out and drink a few cold ones. And Michael didn't get out to like, 12 o'clock on Friday night, comes in like a tornado, leaves, comes back at 4 and cranks up, and then they're gone out the ward. You don't ever really get to see him a whole lot.
Yeah, we're going to have to break him of that. We'll get him in the FDA.
Now, Rub has seen me a few times. So they pulled me in the FBA direction a couple nights. So
yeah.
I got a taste of how they roll.
Yeah, we'll get him broken right down here. I'm looking forward to spending some time with you out here. We'll show you how to do it.
You damn right, y'all do. Y'all work hard and play harder. I like y'all style.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about.
Just remember the old Georgia thing. If you hear banjo music, you better paddle faster, buddy.
I hear banjo music, I'm leaving.
I didn't sign up for this shit. I'm out.
See ya.
Hell yeah. Well, guys, I'm about to go in here and have, honestly, you know, it's coincidentally, I have female obligations in a Mexican restaurant at 9:30, so it's 9:15. I got to get prepped and ready. So, guys, it's a pleasure and an honor to be in y'all's presence on a radio show. I'd like to point out that. And, Rub, congratulations on your win, man. That was an awesome show. You're natural. And, Jim, thanks for having me on, man.
I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Look forward to seeing you next time.
Absolutely, yep. Guys, and I'll talk to you soon. And Maggie Valley, hopefully I'll see you. Well, Jim, I know you'll see you there, Rub. I'll see you in the future, and good luck to y'all in the future. That's all I can say with that, and I love y'all, and next time.
Look forward to it, buddy. Good luck tonight.
All right, guys, appreciate it. I'm going to need it. All right, guys.
We'll see you.
So, Rob, you got any plugs? I know you got a class coming up, and well, actually it's just a little under 2 weeks down in Winter Haven. Is that right?
It's in Claremont, right about in the middle of the state, a little bit more north than Winter Haven. But, yeah, I got a handful of seats left in it. It's going to be a good time. You know, we're going to cover everything hard, and it's also going to be set up right next to a pool. So if it gets too hot, we'll just go jump in the pool.
So they're going to be in the pool and you're going to be out there in the hot sun teaching, right?
Well, that might, yeah. I better think that one through. it'll be good.
I'm a gentleman, and it's great to talk to you, and I want to congratulate you on your great win last night. And, you know, I know there's many more out there for you, and hopefully we can both get our 7 to get into the Jack this year and hang out up there.
That would be awesome. I hope we both do it. I appreciate you having me on, Jim. I always enjoy coming on your show, buddy.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'd like to call you a true friend and everything. Like I said, good luck, and if people are looking for a class, man, get on your website, on his website, give him a call, and get signed up, because I'm going to tell you what, it's worth every penny. And Don Adams took your class. He's a good friend of mine. He like I said, he just talked you up so big and everything, it's not even funny. He just really enjoyed it, and it really helped him. So.
Oh, that's awesome. I wouldn't be doing my job if he wasn't.
That's right. And, hey, you do a great job, so nothing wrong with that. And, like I said, I appreciate you coming on, and I guess we'll see you and Dillard.
Thank you very much, Jim. I look forward to seeing you there, buddy. We'll have a couple cold ones. See you, Jim. Good night.
All right. You have a good night, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks, buddy. Okay, everybody, that was Rub Bagby. We had Michael Mixon on here, and, of course, Heath Hall from Fort Bear Barbecue was on here first. Got a lot of updates on everybody. And I just want to thank all my guests for coming on. Without them, we couldn't do this show. And I really appreciate them coming on, all friends of mine. And we compete against each other. But as you can tell, we have good laughs and just have a good time. That's the main thing about barbecue. I do want to plug my sponsors, Royal Oak Charcoal, Southern Q Smokers, Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills. We got Butch Barbecue on board. We've also got Wicked Q Products. And the new sponsor that we just picked up this week, Springer Mountain Farms. It's really great to talk to Dale and everything from Springer Mountain, and did a practice cook with their chicken. I'm going to tell you what, man, my chicken's going to skyrocket now. It's wonderful, wonderful product, and really glad they came on board, and hopefully I can do them some justice and win a few more grands with their chicken. It's a phenomenal product. If you haven't tried Springer Mountain Farms chicken, you need to order it, because I'm going to tell you what, it was phenomenal. So I want to thank those guys for coming on board. And, of course, Big Daddy's Bar and Grill, one of my buddies, Bo Handy, up there at Big Daddy's. Want to thank you for everything you do, because without all you sponsors, we couldn't do what we do, and we really love to barbecue. So I really want to show my appreciation and everything. So this is for Jim Bird from Killer Bee's Barbecue on Barbecue Superstar, the only radio show you need to listen to. Bid you good night, and see you next week.